What's up out there, folks? Welcome to episode 243 of the Alamo Audible Podcast. This is your host, Jared Camas, joined as always by the man himself, Adrian Bermudez. Adrian, how's it going, man?
How's it going, man? It's going well. It's going extremely well. I had just a phenomenal time in San Antonio on Saturday. It was really, really great experience, both around the UTSA spring game and then extracurriculars in the city of San Antonio. I just had a fantastic visit to one of the greatest cities in the world, man. So it was awesome. It's awesome. I'm still riding the high after that trip, man. It was just a good time.
Yeah, I mentioned it on our last episode, but I was like a mile and a half, 2 miles from the Alamo Dome. And I live in Houston, for those that don't know. So to be that close to the spring game and not be able to attend was pretty brutal. I was sitting in, San Fernando Cathedral downtown for a wedding.
You were at the San Fernando for the wedding?
Yeah. And I got to say, if you've never been to a Catholic wedding where pretty much nobody's Catholic, it's pretty funny. It was quite humorous.
Bro, are you kidding
me? I'm not practicing myself, but I went to Catholic school for like, I would say like a third, if not half of my schooling. So like, I know the rituals, right?
You got to sit through the full mass. And, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, what are you supposed to say and all that? But like 90% of the people in that wedding were not Catholic. And sometimes the priest will like tell you at a wedding, like, if you're not Catholic, you know, come up here, you can receive a blessing or whatever. The priest didn't do any of that. It was also bilingual mass.
Bilingual, yeah, very good. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience for sure. Great.
Had you been inside the San Fernando Cathedral before?
No, I'd only been outside to see like when they project the laser arts.
Yeah, the show. Yep. Yeah, no, man. That is one of the oldest churches in the new world, man. I mean, still standing. The original structure still stands in the back, not the part that gets lit up for the section, but if you're on the city hall side, you can see it, man. And it's actually coordinate 0.0, dude. You know, that is the
center. I didn't know that.
That is the center of San Antonio. If you type in San Antonio near maps, that pin is going to drop on San Fernando, baby.
Adrian's Segway tour knowledge just continues to pay off for this podcast.
I'm so glad that you got to walk in. You should really make a day visit and just kind of explore it and then go behind. You can go behind the altar. You can go into the old chapel. You can walk around. There's a couple little, I guess, for lack of a better term, just like museums exhibit around there in the courtyard behind it, dude, and a good little gift shop. But yeah, it's just a phenomenal.
People were doing that during the wedding mass.
Funny. For sure. Probably a Segway tour popped up in there, dude. They had the Segways parked right outside.
Yeah, it was a bizarre experience, but nice wedding, great weekend in San Antonio. And I turned to my wife, I think right before, I can't remember if it was before mass started or right after. And I was seeing your updates and I was like, man, Adrian is networking his ass off at the spring game.
It was organic. It happened organic. It was really, really cool, man. I had a great experience. And by the way, was that the first spring game you've missed, Jared?
No, I've missed others in the past.
Okay. All right. I was very, very fortunate in that. I mean, I showed up to the spring game dolo, right? I was going to meet some friends there, some of my fellow alums that live in the San Antonio area, but I was there first. I got there fortunately with some really good luck on I-10 westbound. I got there about 12 minutes before kickoff, which was phenomenal. That was a super close call, especially after Bucky's Katie stop, but we made it inside. Plenty of room to, you know, walk through to the dome and get my seat and whatever. So that was nice. But I'm alone, so I don't really know where I'm going to sit. I'm kind of scoping it out. I'm walking by all of these tunnels to enter, and sure enough, I pick section 113 tunnel. I don't know why, but that was the one I walked through. It was a little ways down. And as I'm coming into that tunnel by herself, coming up the stairs, is guest of the podcast, friend of the podcast, Dr. Lisa Campos, the athletic director, vice president of intercollegiate athletics for UTSA. And hey, perfect time. I was like, hey, Dr. Campos. And she's like, hey. And you know, we talked, we chatted up. She asked where Jared was. I let her know, unfortunately, you were right down the street. A lot of people were asking where Jared was.
So
I want you to know your attendance.
Well, that happens in reverse for me all the time. I mean, like, was it like as last season you didn't attend any home games because your son was born?
I was out last.
Man,
I was out of the Alamo Dome. Yeah,
yeah, 10-15 people every game were asking where Adrian's at. I'm like, don't y'all listen to the pod? He's a new father.
If y'all were really listening, you'd know.
No, they always skip past this part in the beginning, like we're doing right now. Like, what are they talking about? Football? Skip, skip, skip. And miss all the juicy details of our lives.
Incredible, man. Incredible. But sure enough, you know, where I decided to plop down to my seat was right next to a lot of friends and listeners of the podcast. Unbeknownst to me, I just happened to pick a spot, and you know, the guys behind me, the guys in front of me, all friends of the pod. A couple of people came down and saw a couple people on the concourse. So just shout out to every single person, listener of the podcast, that I saw at the spring game, that I got to talk to and chop it up with at the spring game. It's Tony Carlock, Chad Wall, the Maguires, Joe Rodriguez, Steven Gomez, and his dad, of course. Just incredible stuff, man. It was really, really cool seeing so many people and having so many people come and say they were listeners of the pod. So that was awesome. And yeah, and I saw a couple of hats in there. Saw some podcast merch in there. So that was really cool to see, of course.
Yeah, and of course, Adrian made the IRL debut of our newest merch item that has been selling like hotcakes.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes. And it was funny because I texted Jared on the side, I think a day or two before the spring, and I was like, dude, I'm going to rock the YI bet on there. And it was just a bunch of flame emojis, I think, in reaction. And sure enough, yeah, I put it on, and a lot of people were asking about it. Everyone from listeners to regular bystanders to Coach Austin Clunch, new coach of the men's basketball team, asked about it. Got to meet him. That was super, super cool. Incredibly friendly, awesome guy. Dapped up a lot of people on the concourse, took a lot of selfies out there. Even some San Antonio randos that I am like 99% sure do not follow UTSA athletics or UTSA as an institution whatsoever, but just some dudes on St. Mary's Street really loved the Wayabeta. So that was pretty cool, man. Yeah. So it's hot. The heritage Wayabeta that features the iconic Hispanic heritage striping of the UTSA football helmet for Hispanic Heritage Day last October. Our creative designer, creative director, graphic designer, Aaron Livingston, came up with that striping. And so we're able to have it on this Wayabeta, which is so incredibly cool. It's a really nice performance wicking Wayabeta, and I put it on in the Alamo Dome, and everyone was asking about it. I'm happy to tell you it's on the store. You can go get it right now. It's perfect for summertime. As you're ready to go hit the beach, as you're ready to go hit Vegas, as you're ready to go to wherever it is that you're going to go for your summertime destinations, yeah, it's going to look fantastic out there. It's really a neck turner. Yeah, it's an incredible shirt. Probably like the flyest. I don't know, like the most I don't know, like fashionable men's GQ item that we've ever offered on our on our fan shop. It's a pretty stunning piece, man. It's a head turner for sure. It's
excellent, excellent. Well, Adrian, as much as it, you know, pained me to not be there for the sprint game, I kind of want to live vicariously through you. What, you know, kind of paint the picture of the spring game for me as far as atmosphere goes.
Look, I thought it was great, man. A lot of really good energy in that building. As I'm walking in, you know, 10, 12 minutes before kickoff, dude, there's probably three groups of recruits walking in the Alamo Dome alongside me. Gosh, had to be four to six guys and all of them. I mean, the place was covered with them. Really cool. But it wasn't just recruits in there. There were a ton of Roadrunner fans. The announced attendance might be a little bit elaborated upon. Yeah, I don't know if we had 8,000 people in the Alamo Dome, boy.
Yeah,
I mean, a really respectable.
The pictures I saw didn't look, it looked fine. It didn't look like 8,000. That's a lot.
But it was good. There was decent covering over that lower bowl, the sections that they had open for us. Cool. People were in there. They were making noise. They were paying attention to what's going on. You saw a lot of support in there, man. And there were a lot of just casual fans in there that were there to see the Roadrunners. They had a great setup. Unbelievable setup. You come off of the highway, you turn down Cherry Street, openings, two or three different openings for the Alamo Lot C parking lot. Really easy, directed traffic, came right in, parked anywhere you wanted, right there next to the stairwell. Really simple to just walk in. So they're like, there were no issues getting in and out of the stadium. You could easily take your vehicle to the spring game. That was nice, man. Got right in. A lot of really good fans, a lot of really good energy. The noise in there was good. I thought the covering was fantastic in there. Yeah.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So since I wasn't able to attend, it wasn't streamed, it wasn't recorded, no stats that I could find, you know, just kind of a general write-up on the press release. pretty much all I've got to go on is the group chat, Greg Lucas article, and like some tweets that I saw. So I think I'm gonna kind of do this interview style with you, which I, you know, is different for us. But I think the thing I'm most curious about is the quarterback battle. You know, it's the question hanging over this team heading into the fall is, what are they like without Frank Harris? Are they going to need to go to the transfer portal for a better quarterback or not? And how are things shaking out between Owen and Eddie? What did you see at the spring game to give you some clues?
Phenomenal. And this is the big elephant in the room, right? Look, spring game, we've got to make the point, and like you said, it's not available to watch or stream anywhere. So unless you've actually gone to a UTSA spring game, you're familiar with Jeff Traylor's style of practice, you're not going to know quite exactly. But Traylor is very, very adamant, even through football season, about his no contact rules whenever this team is practicing, scrimmaging, training. And so spring game definitely works like that. There's no tackling whatsoever. The second a little bit of contact is made, that ball is whistled dead, mm-hmm. play is whistled dead. So as far as evaluation goes, your best evaluations be those skill positions, right? The guys that are getting the ball, the guys that are letting it fly, but you're not going to see so much of what, I mean, besides from like a little bit of push, you're not going to really see what the line of scrimmage is doing. Your defensive backs, you can see them in coverage, sure. So I think there's a little bit that you get from that. But as far as pass rush and getting your hands on somebody, making a tackle, line of scrimmage, getting that push, how's the offensive line versus the defensive line? It's really hard to measure that sort of stuff at a spring game, I think, for UTSA. Quarterback battle. Yeah, really interesting, dude. You know, I think it's not super crazy to say that Owen had the worst day out of everybody. He was just a little stiff, didn't quite get settled in. Of course, he's running with the ones, right? But I think it was really, really impressive watching the other quarterbacks play. Eddie Lee Marburger put the ball in a good place a lot of times. You know, he was throwing a few different styles of passes, but there are a couple of deep balls that he connected on really, really well. He got it offsides early in the game. They drew an offsides, which there were a few from the defensive line of scrimmage throughout that game. That was a little disappointing to see, but that initial one, Eddie caught it right away. The receiver also found it right away, and he put the ball in the right place, but it was double coverage and there was a pass interference on it. But it was a really good read that you first saw from Eddie. And then a couple of plays later, he airs it out again down the sideline to JJ Sparkman, who we're going to get to. And he had a massive day. Mm-hmm. That was his first of two leaping deep grabs on fade routes. That first one from Eddie Lee Marburger, man. And it was just unbelievable placement, I think. From Eddie Lee, and that wasn't the only time that he did it. So he looked good throwing the ball. You know, there was a comment, I think it was Patreon subscriber listener Chad Wall that made it. He said Eddie holds on the ball for a little too long. I'll hear that argument, but again, it's a spring game. You know, there's not going to be any contact. If there is contact going on, could you have an issue there? Sure. I thought that was a nice take from Chad on that. And then
I will say that was one of the things that differentiated Owen and Eddie to me the most last season, was just how much quicker Owen was to get the ball out and distribute it.
100%. Yes. He was getting that ball out where Eddie held it too long and it got him into trouble several times throughout those real game times that they were in mm-hmm. last year. And so, you know, I mean, look, again, Owen's running with the ones. I don't know.
Adrian, when we say running with the ones, I know that is like the first team offense, but he was going against the first team defense as well.
Well, yeah, to a degree. Yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot. And look, there was a ton of rotation.
Right.
A lot. It wasn't even entire drives with one quarterback or with one set of guys. I mean, they were moving guys around so much throughout a lot of those, throughout all four quarters, throughout every single drive. So there wasn't really any great pattern of consistency besides mm-hmm. the blue and the orange, but of guys, and even then we saw some mixing around. So look, there wasn't a huge pattern of consistency as far as who was running with who by any means.
Yeah, sidebar, I don't know how the coaches can keep up with who's going in and who's going out in those spring game situations, you know.
Yeah, that was a whole lot going on, right. But Eddie Lee did sort of settle in, and that the second big leaping jump fade down to JJ Sparkman did come from Owen. I'm sorry, Owen had some time settling in, but the second deep pass was from Owen. Sparkman with those two incredible catches, man. Both just acrobatic leaps, and the second one in particular, there was a lot of contact. There was a little bit of hanging all over him, and he still went up and got the ball. It was impressive, man.
But so I think both of us have kind of been in the same boat throughout this offseason, in the sense that if UTSA can get a veteran quarterback that's going to have a really, I guess, high floor, and that he's going to be a consistent contributor if he's called upon and maybe push for a starting spot, you go and get him.
Yeah.
Assuming I'm right and how you're feeling on the quarterback position right now, do you still have that same sentiment leaving the spring game, or do you feel a bit more urgency to go out and try to get a splash player at quarterback?
It's funny, man. It was something that was talked about in the stands, you know, with the little group of fans and listeners that I was sitting around, and it was kind of a common consensus that we wanted to see some effort in the transfer portal to go and get a quarterback, and in particular one that has that starting experience, game experience, at least more so than what we have so far on the roster, because it is really, really green when it comes to starting snaps, despite however much talent you want to say is or isn't there. That's going to be an issue at some point. If UTSA is going to compete on the high level that we're expected to and keep expectations high, be in contention for AAC, look, it's going to be something. I mean, that wear and tear, being able to play together, being able to win together. But you got to have starting snaps, man. There's just a lot of experience that is lacking in that quarterback room. It's not there. It's just not there. But I don't think people should feel any type of way about Owen McGowan not being the number one guy after the spring game, because I think he still proved himself as the number one guy with who's on this roster throughout what we saw last season and through the bowl game win and through, you know, the rotation that we would see in some games of him and of Eddie Lee. I still think Owen's that guy, although, you know, you could say he was a little bit stiff and took a little time to settle in at the spring game. He didn't look his best. He had a dropped snap that was really ugly there. And sure, I mean, it wasn't a great snap, but you just don't like to see it, man. You know, why did that miscommunication happen in the first place? So, you know, and his very first pass attempt, bro, it was like a loaf of bread. It was directly to a cornerback. It was the second snap. It was in a clean, protected pocket, and it went directly to a cornerback and fell out of his hands. What would have been a pick six. And that kind of just set the tone of like, Owen kind of wasn't really himself or as good as we've seen him in actual games through last season as he played in the spring game. No good there. Then, dude, we saw a lot of action from who else is going to be on the...
I was going to ask. I mean, I know Brandon Tennyson was out there a lot, and Jackson Gilkey. You see anything from those guys?
Both threw the ball well. Jackson Gilkey is built like an absolute stud. Like, his stature really is fantastic for a quarterback. He's like a proper 6'3", to 22-30. Like, he's big, but he's built incredibly well and long. And he had like a very looseness with letting go of the ball. Him and Brandon Tennyson, the Gilmore quarterback, both of them had a very easy ability to get rid of the ball. They looked comfortable passing it. Jackson Gilkey took off on his feet a couple of times, was really impressive. He was like, I want to say eager to do it. And Jeff Traylor even said in his post-game presser that, he should have been calling PRO instead of RPO because these guys are pass first quarterbacks. But Gilkey was not afraid to move those feet. He had some tap dancing ability. I don't want to say Dalton Sturm-esque, but I haven't seen a long, you know, boy come around and tap dance like that in the Allen Dome in a long time.
Okay.
He had like that proper length and stride and tap dance that Dalton had a little bit to him. And I like to see it, dude. And just the confidence to go out and run it. So he had a couple big pickups with the speed that were funny.
Yeah, I kind of forgot Gilkey's high school film. He showed some legs on that. Yeah.
Yes, bro. It was nice, dude. Okay. And I liked it. I was a big fan. And I may have made something about the Sturm comparison inside of the Alamo Dome. And then there may have been a little bit of debate on most talented QBs in all-time UTSA. I was like, it's way too early, but it's time. Yeah, I mean, so it's exciting, like, seeing quarterback talent and then quarterback talent that we've had and, you know, all the greatness now and winning. And, like, it was really cool to, like, see the different conversations that we're able to have as fans now.
Nice.
What's come through the door. And, like, you know, we were comparing era quarterbacks. We were comparing Sosa's and Sturm's and Harris's, and we were comparing the guys that didn't quite make the cut at quarterback. And it was cool to have that, like, a history conversation at a spring game with some fans at random. Like, just wouldn't ever have that sort of conversation at UTSA. We weren't able to 5 years ago. We didn't have that history. That's right. Cool.
Yeah, and that's what's great about being a UTSA fan is as the years go past, it just gets more entrenched and more history. And
a lot of people were here for it. All those, anyone that's going to UTSA spring game has more than likely than not been paying attention to the UTSA football team since the Coker years, right? Right. So it's cool. It's cool. You know, Brandon Tennyson and Jackson Gilkey, both very easy with letting go of the ball and throwing the football.
Yeah. Like, there was one clip that JJ posted. Tennyson was a quarterback. I don't remember who the receiver was, but he was split out wide. And if, like, pre-snap, I think Tennyson had to know that receiver was going to be open because that receiver was running like an out route. And the cornerback was like, he had his body turned with his back towards the sideline. He was like backpedaling. So Tennyson really quickly got it out to that receiver, knowing that once he broke from that route, he was going to be wide open.
They all made
really easy 10-yard pickup.
They both made impressive throws, dude. So, like, Gilkey had the nice wheels. He had the great size, but, dude, he had awesome throws downfield. There was even an incomplete where he put it in the absolute right spot. And then he had the laser to Houston Thomas in the end zone. Houston Thomas.
Yeah, that's a sick play.
Had him a day. Shout out to Houston Thomas. I am so excited and hoping that really we get to see him blossom healthy into this offense as a healthy pass catching tight end. Dude, he had a pass over the middle, touchdown pass over the middle from Eddie Lee, and then he had a laser from Gilkey in the end zone as well. So Houston Thomas with a day, man. Shout out to Houston Thomas. Dude, the Jackson Gilkey, he had a beautiful touchdown pass to Jamel Hardy, who had the leaping catch at the goal line. And then on the very next play, one-handed touchdown grab in the corner of the end zone. Unbelievable. But both were gorgeous passes, just as they were impressive. It's like, Tennyson, man, this catch on the goal line, like, he actually kind of, like, got hit in the air and held on to the football and went down hard. And, like, it was a beautiful catch, beautiful pass. And it got overlooked because of the one-handed grab in the end zone. But, like, even, I mean, almost more impressive of a play was the one before it. Tennyson with the one-handed grab then. Hardy with the one-handed grab then from Tennyson. Dude, both beautiful, beautiful stuff. So, like, seeing really acrobatic plays from dudes that literally just got to UTSA, right? Like, these are the ones that were making, like, the highlight reel moments at the spring game that had the whole crowd doing the oohs and the ahs and the big applauses. It was coming from newcomers.
Yeah, and I saw in Elliot Davidson's post-spring game interview, they asked how he thought the defense performed. And he was like, I thought that we performed pretty well, because if you look at a lot of the big plays for the offense, it was like really good athletes making really difficult plays, just really flashing their talent. And he's like, you know, if you're doing your job as a defender and some guy makes a miraculous play, you just got to tip your cap to him. And it's even better when it happens in a spring game format, because, you know, that's your teammate. You're not going to have to defend him, you know, outside of that spring game. So that was cool to see.
Yes.
But man, JJ Sparkman, kind of the story of the spring game. I mean, I was getting messages left and right about this cat. I think he was for sure the spring game MVP based off everyone that I talked to.
100%. 100%.
Sounds like he's a surefire starter, Adrian.
I don't think there's any question about it. It's a different level of athleticism. It's very apparent. He is so talented. He's so good. He's so fast. His size is unbelievable. And then the catching ability, whenever you saw that in real time and doing it with different DBs on him, with different quarterbacks throwing to him all over the field. I mean, he's the entire package, man. The guy is really, really a stud, and you're going to see him do some unbelievable stuff. Yes, sir. I think this season for UTSA. He is without a doubt a top AAC wide receiver off the bat. Off the bat.
Damn.
I don't think there's a damn doubt about it. I mean, it is sitting there looking at him. It is exactly, you know, healthy peak form, JT Clark-esque, Zachary Franklin-esque. Creating the separation like my boy Josh Cephas, you know, like it, he's got all of that. He's got all of those things that, you know, we've seen from this great, call it Jared, for lack of a better term, or maybe it is that at this point, lineage of wide receivers from the Roadrunners, bro. He follows that. Hands you. Thank you, sir. The University of Hands of San Antonio just got its latest scholarship participant student. Yeah, it's this guy right here. Our latest honors college student. That's JJ Sparkman. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. that's great to hear. You know, we've seen a lot of wide receiver talent come through this program the past 3 years, right? So to hear you that hype up after, you know, what we've seen from some of those guys that you mentioned is really encouraging, right? Because the bar is really probably unfairly high right now. And if Sparkman is able to perform at that level, that's a huge boost in the arm for sure.
The fact that he was able to have those impressive downfield completions from both Eddie Lee and Owen. And this is once Owen started settling in, which he started connecting on passes very well towards the end of the spring game. So again, I still think he's the surefire best in the room as of right now, until someone else comes into the room at least. And the fact that JJ Sparkman is able to make those kinds of plays happen with both Eddie Lee and Owen McGowan tells me that he's the type of receiver that makes quarterbacks better.
Yeah.
And I think we've been blessed to have those kinds of receivers, at least one of them on the roster here throughout, you know, this run that Jeff Traylor's had. And that trend's going to continue with JJ Sparkman.
Mm-hmm. We've been very focused on the offense so far through this podcast. What stood out to you from the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, look, I think the coverage was well from the cornerbacks. I think the pass rush was really, really well from the front seven. Again, you don't get to gauge too much, but there were a lot of plays that had to be blown dead sooner than later, or even very quickly, in fact, because the defender was quick to make it to the ball carrier. Mm-hmm. Whether that was on a pass rush, flushing out the quarterback, which, you know, the very first play from scrimmage, they flushed Owen out of the pocket almost instantaneously as the ball got to his hand. And then sort of the offensive line stepped up on the second snap and gave him a nice clean pocket after that, on the following play. But defense was all over the place. They had the energy. They brought it in. They were leading most of the spring game. There were two or three, you know, like surefire interceptions that were either caught or like through the hands, then dropped. But I mean, like potential pick sixes, turnovers. There was a scoop and score there, back up against the goal line, probably like the 15 or 20 yard line. That was, this was a telling moment. Jackson Gilkey versus Brandon Tennyson, the stature. I was talking about Jackson Gilkey's size. I think one thing that stuck out was Brandon Tennyson. Both of them threw the ball really, really well, really comfortably. But Brandon Tennyson he's only 5'10". Mm-hmm. And there was a play where the ball got batted out of his hand in the backfield as he was drawing back to throw the ball. And the ball was, you know, behind his head.
Yeah, so you're already short. You got a bad launch.
The lowest part of the motion. Yeah, the lowest part of the motion. And so it was almost like at like a shoulder level, they were able to bat the ball out. There was no like raising the arms that was required. But there was a comment made there, and like, there's that size getting the best of him. And I mean, that exists. And it's going to be a problem for Brandon. But that was a play. There was a moment there where that was illustrated. Defense was able to take advantage of that size difference. In real time, we saw it. Mm-hmm. So that's one. That's one thing. Unfortunate for Brandon.
Yeah,
there was a lot with
Trey Moore in the transfer portal. A lot of question marks about the pass rush. We saw some of the answers to that, you know, in that bowl game against Marshall. But was there anyone on the defense that you noticed making their presence felt in the backfield more often than the rest, or was just kind of a collaborative group effort with everyone getting a little bit of run back there?
I think due to the rotation that we were getting from Jeff Traylor, I was probably more of a by committee.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of run from know, Denver Harris, and that's the name that everybody wants to hear, and everybody's
in the that was my next question, actually.
Former five-star recruit, right? LSU, Texas A&M, unbelievable. And these trailers asked about him in the presser, of course. I mean, that's the name that everyone wants to know more about. But again, he didn't get tons of run. Whenever he was in there, there was a noticeable difference. I talked about the talent difference with J.J. Sparkman. There's a talent. There's definitely a talent difference there with Denver Harris. The dude is really, really good. But again, you didn't get to see a ton of him. And it's so watered down what the defense is able to do. I just don't think it's fair for me. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying this guy really stood out to me. But I think as a unit collectively, they did a really good job battling against the offense. I think they had them really in position most of the time where things, I mean, both teams made really, really impressive plays, but it would have been a very hard game for, if there was real tackling involved and real scoring involved, it would have been a very hard game for an offense to battle back from, from the defense.
Yeah. Cause it was like 9-2 at the half or something like that. Right.
Yeah. And it was the only thing for the defense is there was a little bit of like mental errors. There was a lot of very blatant PIs, the ones that were called and many that weren't. There was a lot of jumps at the line of scrimmage that were called, a lot of offsides from the defense. So you saw a commonality of a little bit of lack of discipline there. But that'd probably be my only harp against them. Coverage was well. A little bit of hanging, a little bit too much hanging on him, but coverage was good.
Well, no like clear breakdowns. Guys went away.
No, I don't think so. I think most of the impressive catches and completions that we saw, maybe over the middle, like once or twice, you know, I think.
Yeah, but sometimes that's schematic too, you know?
Yeah, I think one of Houston Thomas's touchdown, that first Houston Thomas touchdown catch from Jackson Gilkey, he was pretty open there in the end zone, but a couple seconds had transpired and I think he sort of broke free and it was over the end zone and I was over the middle. But no, I think defense on the pass defense was probably better than run defense.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pretty impressive chunks of yardage picked up from UTSA's running backs and UTSA's quarterbacks. There were plenty of examples of those plays.
Yeah. I guess that is pretty encouraging to me to hear because I'm not worried about the run defense come September.
Okay.
I think it'll be fine. I think like the lack of physicality in a spring game makes it a little bit harder to kind of set that tone, you know, in the front seven. Yeah. I was more concerned. There's so many new fresh faces. You know, you're going to have two new starters at cornerback, one, maybe two new starters at safety. So I was really worried about the communication there and, you know, guys running scot-free like we've seen in the past. But, man, it really feels like Jess Lepp has, like, cleaned up his secondary quite a bit. I mean, two years ago, it was, like, kind of the bane of the defense, and now it's a side note, if anything.
Yeah. It was really, really good stuff, I think, all around, man. I think for some shout-outs that I would give to some other guys, we talk about good-looking run plays. J-Rod, Justin Rodriguez, he had the first carry of the game. He was actually pretty consistent getting some carries there, so a little more so in the first half, but he was quick.
Yeah, spring game hero for sure.
Him and Eddie Lee were having really good chemistry, handing the ball off, I think. It was real clean exchanges there.
Yeah, side note, I guess that was one of the things that we learned after the spring game was how like injury-ridden the running back room has been this spring.
Yeah, so Jeff Traylor talked about injuries in the postgame presser. He mentioned that Robert Henry was injured. He said, mentioned that Devin McEwen also injured. Henry has a toe injury that has sort of been nagging, and McEwen has some sort of soft tissue that he's dealing with. I don't know what that is. But Robert Henry, but he said both of them could have played, but it wasn't really worth it. And Kavorian Barnes, nursing his shoulder surgery, said he was definitely not clear, definitely not good to go for spring game. We saw JT Clark wearing street clothes, but he was not wearing a knee brace. We saw pictures of him in spring practice wearing a knee brace. So it means that brace has recently come off. So take some solace in that.
Positive, yeah.
The Justin Rodriguez did score a touchdown. So he was quick. He had a good day. And I'm pretty sure his family was sitting in our same row on the other side of it because every time I was shouting him out, cheering for him, they were getting a kick out of it over there.
Nice.
So I imagine that was J-Rod's people.
Yeah, who else got a lot of carries from the running back room?
Yeah, so there was actually a good little bit of distribution happening there. Besides J-Rod, you did see Rocco Griffin do some impressive stuff as a starter, as a one. Brandon High had some run. He looked pretty good.
Okay. Awesome.
Mason Colton, which the 257 guys.
To me.
The 257 guys getting out there. And look, I don't know if all the numbers were lined up right, but it had to be Mason Colton according to the numbers. And I think there was a little bit of discrepancy with numbers and names at the spring game. But this one I'm pretty sure was spot on.
Number 42, retro freshman from Bridgeland High School in Cyprus.
That's what I've gathered. That is correct. Absolutely. Huh. He had a couple of, I would say, explosive runs. He looked explosive running the ball, in my opinion.
Nice.
257 guys, I think, out there really ran that damn ball.
We need to run the wing T and have them as slot backs and just hide them behind offense, you know?
Let's go. Make it work. I mean, there's talent out there at those guys.
Yeah. Hey, I know you probably don't watch the offensive line as much as I do, but did any of those new offensive tackles catch your eye in a positive or negative light?
None that I could.
Just hard to discern.
None that I could give you by name. None that I could give you by name. I was running through the roster just trying to see who position guys were.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that the pass protection was really good, in my opinion. For the most part, I would say the pass protection was, I mean, if not really good, fairly good. And there were some holes there for running backs to get those big jumps, get those big gaps in. So
yeah, promising. I mean, based off like some of the veteran guys that have OT experience that are running a guard in the spring, is a pretty good sign that some of these new transfers seem like they're going to be a hit.
And again, there was a ton of rotation happening there.
Yeah.
Every single person at the line of scrimmage was getting some time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a big, big spread. I'll probably say that this was the most spread out snaps have ever been at a spring game, in my opinion.
I think like snaps per player.
Yes.
Was okay.
Yeah, across the roster. Yeah, I think more of the roster got participation than any other spring game before.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's an intentional thing or.
People were also giving a lot of love to Choo Choo Doe, who had a couple of catches and perhaps the best name on the UTSA roster right now.
That's a pretty good one for sure.
He's from New Jersey. He went to the City College of San Francisco. We actually had a listener offer up for Choo Choo, who doesn't need a nickname, Choo Choo Doe, but said you could call him Coast to Coast. I thought that was pretty incredible.
What's the railroad that went coast to coast?
Man, Union Pacific, the Pacific,
the Intercontinental.
Oh, the Intercontinental.
Oh man, this is like one of those things you learn in fifth grade and never use it again. But with a name like Choo Choo, I feel like it's a good connect all the dots there, you know. Well, hey, did you get to check out the new punter at all?
You know, there were some punts that were happening that looked pretty good. There were also some field, some place kicking that happened that people had a lot of thoughts on. So there was one, I think, made field goal and then one missed field goal. So the field goal, the first one, the one that was missed, that was a pretty deep one. I don't know the exact yardage, but I would assume it was mid-40s to deep 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down the middle, but it was just probably 3 or 4 yards short, maybe 5. And it got a little bit hung up, but it landed probably about 2/3 into the end zone. And it was weird, but after the game, I was talking to a couple of listeners who said that the doors to the parking lot underneath the tunnels were open.
Oh my gosh.
And that there was, in fact, a draft coming through that breezeway, and that kick was into the wind. And it was just a couple of yards short. And just from sitting there watching at the 40 whatever yard line, dude, it did get hung up, and it was strange the way that it got hung up. But that's what happened on the long kick. Second kick was good. Punting, I think, was done well. Yeah. There were good kicks out there. There were good kicks.
Yeah, the new punter is Cale Hogan.
Cale Hogan.
New Australian punter.
Gosh, who was it that was making those place kicks, or that was kicking those place kicks?
It wasn't Chase Allen?
Had to have been. That had to have been Chase Allen. Yeah, man. Overall, yeah, I think that was really good distribution across everyone at the spring game. And I thought all of the units collectively played pretty strong. I mean, you didn't say anything. You didn't see anything glaringly as an issue that you need to address. UTSA looked solid across most fronts. I think Owen is by far still, you know, head and shoulders the number one guy. But I think there's young talent in that quarterback room that that we can be excited about.
Yeah, got some to work with, right?
Absolutely.
Got some clay to mold.
I think there's probably, you know, that depth in the quarterback room is growing, despite there's only four guys. But I think the talent level has gone up. You know, who you've got at 2 and 3. UTSA is in a better place. Yeah.
Okay. No new concerns pop up from the spring game for you?
No, not for me, no.
I guess you're... Sounds like your biggest concern heading into the fall is going and getting that transfer quarterback, though.
Something needs to happen. Yeah, and they asked Jeff if he has any serious transfer portal concerns or anything pressing that he wants to address in the post-game presser. And, of course, he kind of shrugged that off, and he's concerned about the guys that are on roster now. But I don't know. I think from what we've seen, again, such a small sample size, it would be crazy for UTSA to not pursue an experienced quarterback to bring him in here. And he's not good. He doesn't have to be the automatic starter. And I don't think that UTSA would make that person an automatic starter. You know, this isn't like a Cordell Grundy situation.
Yeah.
But it's necessary to bring that into the room. So,
you know, competition only breeds success, right?
Exactly.
I don't think it doesn't sound like either guy just slammed the book shut about who's going to be the number one starter.
No, and I think, you know, you could make that argument that maybe Eddie did that versus... I'm sorry, that Owen did that versus Eddie during the regular season. But again, slam the book shut could even be... Look, he got a bowl win. That was impressive. And I think he is the better guy by a decent margin, but I don't know about slam the book shut margin.
Right.
And spring game, definitely. You got to have someone. And then, dude, and even as the season progresses, you got to have an experienced guy in there for... the sake of coaching up that room, for watching film, for making adjustments and making changes. Yeah, dude. You need that. That you really don't have. I mean, all these guys are just lacking the collegiate experience that you really need. UTSA to make the run that they should.
Well, Adrian, thank you so much for sharing your insight. You know, it hurts that I wasn't there, like I said, but I feel like I was there now after talking to you. Thank you for that. And... yeah, I still think this could be a really strong UTSA team. You know, I was talking to the guys from At the Roost. I sent them, they sent me a Q&A to fill out, and they asked, what are expectations compared to last year? And I was like, well, I think the expectations may not be that the team itself is as strong as last year, but the schedule does drop off a lot.
Yeah.
So I think the win total is still pretty high. I still have pretty high expectations for this team, especially on the defense. I think the defense is going to shape up to be quite salty as these guys kind of gel and mesh together over the summer and the start of the fall. But
yeah, it's one of those things. I'm sorry. I was just going to agree with your take. I was just going to echo what you were saying. I think
you're right.
Yeah.
And we know that defensive line is just going to be super nasty when it's all said and done. Right. So it's like the last thing that I'm worried about. You know, you kind of mentioned there were some run lanes there and stuff. That'll get cleaned up. I'm not too concerned about that.
I do want to give a tremendous shout out just again to all of the listeners that were there at the spring game and that took a second to come and say what's up or to sit there and watch it with me. That was just super cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Last note before I thank the Patreons once again, if you're listening to this today, when I plan to post this, the transfer portal is open. Adrian, parting thought. Is there any position, I guess, where you would expect some attrition? I think for me, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the offensive linemen hit the portal.
Oh, man, I was going to say offensive line.
Because it really sounds like a lot of those transfer portal guys that brought in on the offensive line played really well this spring. So I think some of those younger guys that haven't yet established themselves and found a spot in the rotation could be looking for a new home where they're going to be, you know, in that two deep somewhere.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Coach Traylor did mention they're doing exit interviews like over these past couple of days.
He did make a point to say that. I thought that was interesting.
Nature of the beast nowadays, man.
He specifically mentioned the exit interviews whenever they asked him about transfer portal. They asked Jeff about what does he want to do in the transfer portal, and he brought up exit interviews and keeping guys here that want to be here. So yeah. So clearly, it's front of mind. I don't know.
The gears are turning, yes.
There's a reason why in particular it's front of mind, or is this, it just should be business as usual. It needs to be front of mind. So we'll see. I don't think there'll be a mass exodus, but yeah. I do think there's going to be a couple of guys. Yeah. That we can see at one particular position, and offensive line is where we have the most guys.
Yeah.
We're thicker and deeper at offensive line positions, I think. And then maybe wide receivers where we're the second heaviest, which mm-hmm. Did you see a wide receiver leaving?
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. I think so.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not too worried about losing expected high-end contributors in this transfer portal window. I'll be a little bit surprised if one of those big names hits the portal. But, you know, hope I don't swallow my words come tomorrow, come today for the listeners. All right, before we get out of here, man, just want to say thanks again to the Patreon supporters, the ones that Adrian shouted out from the spring game, but also everyone else who financially contributes to the success of Alamo Audible and allows us to do cool things like drop what we're doing and drive to San Antonio to cover the spring game and have our gas paid for and hotel paid for and all that. Make sure all of our contributors get paid, our photographers, all that good stuff. So thank you to our Board of Trustees members, Digi Teague, John Alwell, Gary and Ruben representing the UTSA Bird Gang Tailgate, Ray Redding and Meet Me Pearl, Brandon Grill and the Grill Realty Group, Andy L. Azada at Proficient Benefit Solutions, Ian McClendon and Seeker LLC, Ryan Squares, Watering Construction, Javon Townsend, VP of the DFW Chapter of the UTSA Alumni Association, UTSA Annual Giving, Artisan Vapor and CBD, and of course our big money donors, including Ben Tovar, the Bunch Family, Zach Espedacueta and the San Antonio Podcast Network, Alejandro Benavides, Dan Ernall, host for On the Birdbath, Jacob Cavazos, board president for the UTC Alumni Association, John Nally, Brandon Patrone, Rick Cortez of Red Wheel Grillers, and Sumner McDaniel. Thank you guys all so much, especially those of you that have recently purchased an item from the store. And don't forget, if you are a Patreon subscriber at the booster tier and above, you always have a $5 off coupon to use on our store. So keep that in mind. Well, guys, thanks again for listening. We have a lot of episodes coming out this week, so stay tuned. We're about to be rocking and rolling here. All kinds of sports, all kinds of coverage heading your way. And be sure to check back and get all the goods. We'll see you guys in the next one.